Come on now, somebody shout for Jesus. The praise team is on exit, but somebody in the house shout for Jesus. You see, when we become the praise team, when we become the choir, when we do this thing corporately, we ain't gotta wait for nobody to pump us up, shoot us up, lift us up, but we'll enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Grab hold of your neighbor and say, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory. Look, cut the music for a minute. I need for us to rumble the ceiling real quick. Listen, I've been out all week long and I'm ready to give a word. Amen. Anybody ready for a word from Jesus? I believe my hearing is okay, but my left side is strong. Anybody ready for a word from Jesus? Yeah. Let's get it. Somebody say, let's get it. I ain't talking about no rap song. I'm talking about kingdom praise. Let's get it. Amen. Amen. I'm glad to be here this morning. I know y'all looking at the refrigerator, but you know, we do things out the box. Amen. And I believe doing it the way God has given it to me, and he's given me some things this morning that was out the box for me, so I question him. And you know, whenever you question God, it always comes back the same way. I mean, whenever you ask God concerning what he is leading you to do, he always comes back the same way. Now, let me say this again. The reason you question God is because you don't understand the directions. God says that it is for me to give it to you again, but it's for you to get the understanding. That's why many of us read the scriptures for life and don't really have an understanding. God says, look, I've already given you my word. It's up to you to get an understanding. Oh God. Let's pray. Grab the hand of your neighbor. I'm listening. I've got all the time I need. You know, God's timing is not according to the clock. It's eternal. It's chronos and kairos. Come on. Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for great people. God, we thank you for such an awesome word this morning. God, I thank you for life, health, and strength. I thank you because when I didn't want to do it and I wasn't strong enough to do it, you still allowed me to get up. And I realized the reason for my getting up and the reason for me getting up, even when I had fallen down, the reason for me getting up in the morning, because you said joy cometh in the morning. But it's ultimately to glorify you in all things. So God, for that, I give you praise and honor. I thank you this morning for everything that you're going to do and everything you're going to send through me. Now, God, if you would, open up the hearts and eyes of your people. And better yet, open up the ear gates so that they may receive your word. Oh, God, thank you. Have your way this morning. Oh, man, for the benefit of the kingdom, in Jesus' name, let the body say amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. Before you take your seats, I want you to ask your neighbor just a simple question. Are you operating in your destiny? That was so weak. You got to say it with some authority. You know, look at him in the eyes. Are you operating in your destiny? Yeah. Come on, brother. Don't get too close. Come on. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Some of y'all said it like y'all was going to fight. Yeah. Praise God. I'm excited this morning again. I've been traveling all week, and we were part of a wedding ceremony. God's idea this week at the coast, and it was phenomenal. And they're off celebrating, honeymooning, and now they shall return on next Sunday. Amen. So why don't you give a hand clap for Mr. and Mrs. Byron White. Amen. Used to be Natasha Blackwell. Now it's Natasha White. Amen. Had a glorious time down there. And God is doing some things. And I always tell people a little humor this morning, but I'm serious. There is a 100% success rating. I know the devil going to get mad and he's going to try to intervene. In the marriages here at Beyond Measure, watch this. The ones that I have counseled, OK? Okay, y'all ain't gonna clap. I use my feet. Come on. The one that I've counseled has 100% success rate. Amen. Now, if Pastor has counseled you, I need for you to go ahead today, right now, go ahead and cover yourself because the enemy is gonna show up and try to intervene. But you know, I ain't scared of the devil. We have victory over Satan. Okay, you don't know what victory means. That we have power and authority over the devil. I'm trying to stay still, Sister Tab. I'm trying to stay still. Amen. So we give honor for what God is doing, and be it that he get all the glory and that we get no glory, no self-gratification, that we decrease, that he might, not might, but may increase in our life, even in our speech, even in our sharing, even in our discipleship, that we not get a glimpse of trying to get the light. Oh, God, that sounds like Satan. You know, Satan wanted the light because he was working with the light. He says, you know what? I can do this. Today, we're continuing on to talk about destiny. And this is a series that's dear to my heart, and I believe we're somewhere along the lines of part four. Is that right? Part four and in this destiny series. And I want to do a recap just like last week, just real quick. Destiny. Before I do that, just show of hands, and you know, you don't have to be ashamed if you're not. If you know that you are living in your God-given destiny, show of hands. Sound like I was counting, but I was really breathing. Okay, it's about 10. Okay, that's good because you were honest. God's goal through Shannon is that you would begin to operate according to your customized life, which is your destiny. That is God's goal. You know why? Because God knows what he created you to do. And it has to be a miserable life to do something day in and day out that you do not love. Did you not know before I read this, did you not know, and I've discovered this, that you could actually begin to do something that you think you hate, and because God designed it for you, that you will eventually learn to love, because God knows best, and so because he knows best, you will begin to do it without knowing that you do it. What that means is you wake up to eat, sleep, and drink whatever it is that he has customized for your life. Pastor, what is destiny? Let's do a recap. Destiny is your called, customized life that God has ordained and equipped you to accomplish in order to bring him glory and achieve the greatest of his kingdom. That is destiny. Let me say it again, just in short brief. It is your customized life, a customized life. Who's doing the customization? God has already done the customization. It is a customized life that God has ordained and equipped you to accomplish in order to bring him glory and achieve the greatest of his kingdom. His kingdom in heaven, down here on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done right here on earth. You know, God says, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It's going to be released. And whatever you bind on earth, here it is, shall be bound in heaven. I mean, good God Almighty. That's the God that we serve, that we have the power and the authority to do it here on this earth globally. I mean, my goodness. Destiny, I want us to get there today. I'm going to get you there. I've got 28 minutes according to your time. We started off 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, whenever it was, I'm a masterpiece. I subtitled it, A Piece of the Master. Somebody say, I am a piece of the master. Amen. We're in part four. I've given you the scripture. We started off with Ephesians 2 and 10. And I'm going to give you a second scripture today, Philippians 2 and 13. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Can you get my glasses for a minute in the backpack? That God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Watch this, Philippians 2 and 13. It says, it is God who is at work in you, in us, in you, both to will and to work for his what? Good pleasure. It's for his good pleasure. It pleases God for you to operate in your faith. The Bible says that one of the many things that pleases him is for you to operate in your faith. Your faith makes God smile. Your faith makes God smile. It pleases him. It pleases him. It is of his good pleasure. Good pleasure. It is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now let's move. Today's lesson, Bible study, Sunday school lesson. I may ask you some questions this morning. Don't run out into the lobby. I'll come into the lobby today. Amen. Today's message is entitled Tailor-Made Destiny. Tailor-made destiny. Woo, tailor-made. Tailor-made. Tailor-made destiny. You know, folks who like clothing like to get things customized. The problem with having something customized is when you eat a little too much and you have a little expansion, the customization has to be retailored. Good gracious. Ooh, I mean, they have to take your measurements all over again. And first of all, you have to come in to admit and humble yourself and say, you know what? This is a little tight right here, a little tight right there. I need for you to take it out a little bit. You normally just take it in, but take it out because I have expanded. Tailor-made. It's customized to fit according to your measurements. Your life is tailor-made. God tailor-made your life, and God tailor-made your life before you were born into this world. He tailor-made your life so good that he knew that you was going to go through some things and that the devil was going to try you. The devil was going to try you to make sure that you continue to know who you are. I mean, really, he tries to steal your identity. And many of us, here it is, in the church, in the body of Christ, are walking around with stolen identities. Right? It's a two-part because some of us are trying to be something that we're not. Okay, let's not a thing. Some of us are trying to be a person, people that we're not, that we weren't created to be, and we're operating outside of our customization. I'm just talking to the church. Just talking to the body of Christ. Tailor-made destiny. And so unfortunately, though, many of us try to live out other people's destinies. There it is. Post that one. Instead of our own. What do I mean by that? Let me tell you. This is why so many Christians, here it is, in the body of Christ, live unfulfilled and unsatisfying lives. When you live outside of your customization, you live unsatisfying lives. You live an unsatisfying life. And your neighbor sees it. Your spouse knows it, and your kids try to identify with it because they see that you don't do it well. My kids will question me. If something's outside of the norm, they will ask me a question all the way down to my three-year-old. I mean, he asks me questions all the time, and he really don't really know what he's actually telling me. I believe that sometimes God's speaking through my three-year-old, there it is, keep it right there. God speaking through my three-year-old to get my attention. You know, he'll use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And we're sitting there saying, how is it that a three-year-old can identify with me and ask me these questions? Boy, you must have been here at some point in time. In fact, you're too young. Well, in fact, why am I having a conversation with a three-year-old? Yeah. We try to make it right, try to rationalize. Like, man. And then you walk away like, man, God, you're trying to tell me something? Right? And so we operate outside of our customized lives, and we struggle because we know anytime you operate outside of your customized life, you don't do it as well as you could do it if it was customized for you. Ah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. And we don't do it as well, we try to keep it up. And so therefore, we create fake IDs to live this life just to appease people. And you know, one thing that I decided to share this morning that's in my second message is you got to stop trying to get up in the morning trying to please everybody. You know, you can't please everybody. And the reason why we get this misconstrued is we come to church in the body of Christ to live this life trying to please God. Let me tell you something. It's because of God's grace. Listen, you ain't got to do anything else to please God in that sense. You can't do anything else to get his love. He already loves you. You can't do anything else to be on his list. You're already on his list. He also sent his son to die for you and I. What greater love is that? Talk to me. Listen, you can't earn anything. You can't earn grace. Okay, I'm getting into my second message. And so we pursue destinies that were never designed for us. Uh-oh, there it is, clarity. Right? We see someone else's destiny, and we like it so much that we try to make it our own. But God has not equipped and fulfilled us or someone else's destiny for us, right? He has equipped and filled us with what's supposed to be our very own destiny. So at some point in time, as you're walking through this journey called life, you got to wake up and say, is this really for me? Not because it has given you a headache, not because you got people, right? Because as long as you're living, as long as you're breathing, you're going to have to deal with people. You're going to have to deal with people. And if you're not dealing with people, listen to me, you will become miserable with yourself. You need people in your life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. You know why? Because those people challenge you. Those people tell you the truth, and some of those people don't need to be in your life, but however, they help you to identify who's not supposed to be in your life. If you go down your list of buddy system right now, if you go down your list of buddies and people and friends and acquaintances, you will begin to identify who you can go without. Who you can go without does not mean who's going to give you all positivity every day of your life. Who you can go without is who is going to bring all negative things every day. I mean, you should give me at least one day, give me something positive. But if you're pouring negativity every day, that means that you're operating on the other side of the fence. I mean, you got to be careful. Folks will suck the life out of you, right? You got to be careful of those folks. You should deposit. I mean, listen, the bank will close your account if all you do is suck out of the system. If you don't make a deposit, $1, they will close your account. You know why? Because there is no life without a deposit. Oh, my. That's not even in this tailor-made part right here. What in the world? God has a destiny for us that we will never be able to complete, or we will never ever be completely satisfied until we are fulfilling, here it is, our very own destiny. Oh my goodness. So I ask you this morning, what is your destiny? Number one, I don't know if it was on the screens, but number one, it says, my first point is, live out your own destiny. God's masterpiece has a destination. God's masterpiece has a destination, right? You never see the masterpiece sitting over in junk. But if you do see it sitting in junk, you can identify with it because it shines. No matter how dusty it is. You know, you come to church and you sit beside some dusty people. But you know, you can never judge a book by its cover. Because if you know what you're looking at and you know what you have, then you will begin to identify that which sits beside you. And you know, it's my job and it's my duty and it's my responsibility as the pastor, not even as a pastor, as a person, as an individual, to pour out of you that which God has allowed me to see in you. You know, when oftentimes when we're pulling stuff out of people, they look at you funny. You know, they're afraid. What you talking about? And then you got to walk away and say, watch God work. And then when God begins to reveal and manifest himself to them, they come back to you with testimony concerning what God has done. Now, not for you to boast or brag and say, I told you so. Just sit back and let God get the glory. You know, because they'll realize, you know what? Somebody spoke into my life. Who was that? Oh, that was that pastor that spoke into my life. You know, that's why I speak into folks' lives who never come back to this ministry. I talk to people who never show up to church. And I also, watch this, speak to people and deal with people who are not Christians. That's true discipleship. True discipleship is when you can go outside of the four walls and have a conversation with somebody, watch this, who's not operating in the area that you operate in, right? It doesn't matter what religion you are, what your belief is. Let me share the gospel. If you're not sharing the gospel with everybody in every nation, listen to it, with every nation, Matthew 28, with every nation, then you've got a problem. Every language, every nationality, every ethnicity, folks who cannot talk like you in a sense of speech or language does not mean that you don't share the gospel with them. Let me get back to destiny because y'all don't like that part right there. So live out your own destiny. Not only that, just a little sub here is, why pursue a destiny that was never designed for you? You were created to do what you're supposed to do, right? A lot of us are making ourselves do something that we were not created to do. I wish I could talk about relationships, but it's not that time yet. It's not that time yet because I don't have enough time to expound. So therefore, you walk out of here with the lack of knowledge concerning what I'm talking about, and you'll misconstrue, and you'll take it way out of context, and then the next thing you know, you'll be calling me the devil. So I got to make sure when I share it, talk to me, preachers, when you share things, make sure that you can expand upon it, because they'll take and they'll run with it, because you did not, you left this thing open-ended, and you got to make sure that you cap it, because they'll run with it, because you didn't give it in its entirety. What is your destiny? Your destiny is the choice. It's a choice. Watch this. The choice is not, here it is, yours to make. The choice is not yours to make. Let me help you here. Instead, it is a reality that is yours to discover. Okay, let me say that again because y'all didn't write it down. Right, it's not on the screen. I said the choice is not yours to make concerning what your destiny is. It is not your choice. It's already been customized for you. It is a reality that is yours, ours to discover. For example, this appliance here did not choose what it will do. Somebody with an idea, a concept, if you will, came up with the mapping of the drawing to design what we call an appliance known as the refrigerator. Okay? What's that we used to call this? The cabinator. Right? This is a refrigerator. Okay? The cabinator. And so somebody came up with this concept and says, you know what? Not only do I want to keep things cool, but I want to keep things that should be iced over and in a sense of being frozen. So this is the frozen food section, and here's my cooling section. The problem is you can set it up and be, you can be the refrigerator, or you can be the items that go into the refrigerator. Now, as I was coming in here, this no lie fell in my spirit. Here it is. If you're the refrigerator, watch this. You got to be careful concerning what comes inside of you. Oh, good God Almighty. Hey! Okay, I got the wrong crowd this morning. You got to be careful what you allow to come into you, because what comes into you may not be designed to settle in you. If you put things in here that's not supposed to be in here, then maybe it will spoil. If the contents in here spoils, then the contents that was placed by the person or the person that put the content inside the refrigerator will be upset because they will say that it did not do its customized destination position life. That was a lot, wasn't it? Right? Grammatically, it wasn't right. They will say that this thing is not doing what it was created to do. Here we go, before I get into it. We allow people to put things into us, and when we cannot carry it out, they are upset with us because they place something inside of us. Here it is. But what they place inside of us is not supposed to be in us. Okay, let me talk to some of y'all. Some folks try to operate in the prophetic. Some people try to put things in you that was not designed to be in you. Okay. That's why in church, everybody want to make everybody a preacher and a pastor. Not everybody's supposed to preach the gospel on this platform or be the pastor. Here it is. Not everybody's supposed to be on the praise team. Wait a minute, pastor, you just said everybody's supposed to be the praise team and the choir. No. The Bible teaches that we should do this thing corporately because it's not an entertainment, it's not a show. Let me say it again. It's not entertainment and it's not a show. Although people up here have to put on a show sometimes just to change your perception. Right? And so what happens is that we have this thing called a refrigerator. It's an appliance. And what I've discovered is you cannot purchase a refrigerator and expect for this thing to heat your house. If your HVAC system goes out, you cannot open the door and expect for this refrigerator, although it has a cooling system, to be a part of your HVAC system. You know how we used to do it when the stuff would go out and it was really cold? What would you do? You would open up that oven and let that heat flow through. Oh, so some of y'all in the new school, y'all know about it, right? You would open up the oven and let the heat flow through the house just so you can warm up everybody. The problem is when the inspector shows up, he says, you're not supposed to do that with that piece of equipment because it was not designed to do that. It will blow your house up. And so I've discovered that this refrigerator has a freezer, and I want to know, why is it that I have paper in the freezer? I'm talking about your life. Why is it that I got speakers in the freezer? See, we're placing things in position that's not supposed to be there. Here it is. My shoes does not belong in the freezer. I'm talking about the body of Christ. My shoes belong on the shelf, not the shelf of the refrigerator. Y'all gonna get it in a minute. So we come here and we say, well, hold on, Pastor. Hold on. I use a different compartment, so I move to a different auxiliary. Let me help you out. In this thing right here, it was getting dusty, so you put your Bible in the refrigerator. Come on, I want to keep it cool. You come in here, you got your hat not on the hook or the hanger. Come here, you got clothes in the refrigerator. I want to know, why is it that you have placed something that does not belong into something that wasn't designed to hold what you have in your life? We come here, and it's just like the refrigerator. It's just like the couch. We like to use things that they were not designed to be used for. This is why the church is in the position that she's in, is because people are operating outside of their customized life. If you can sing, then you should be singing with the choir. Okay, that wasn't good enough for you. If you can sing, then you should be on the praise team. Someone will get that in a minute. Right? I mean, if you can preach, then you need to come to MIT. I don't care how long you've been preaching. I don't care what church you come from. Guess what? God has given a visionary to this house. And we got to listen. It's the difference between committing and submitting. How do you come to God's house? I'm committed, Pastor, but I can't submit to you. We got a problem with submitting. And when you have a problem with submitting, you have a problem with authority. Now, you'll take note that, let me talk to you for a minute, right? Just a sidebar. Oh, my goodness, where has time gone? It's a sidebar. People will flee from your life that's not used to leadership. That's why, ladies, when you've never had a real man in your life, and one shows up that can lead you, and you know you're already whole, you run from it because it's frightening. Because while you're used to driving and you're used to opening up your own door and you're used to cooking for yourself, you're going to step back and you're going to struggle with him cooking. You say, boo, no, I ain't. You're going to struggle with him washing dishes, washing your clothes, washing your dirty laundry. You're going to struggle because you got to let him into a world that you've had on your own for most of your life. Okay, I know. That's why brothers struggle with a real woman. Because you're used to them coming in, showing up, giving you what you asked for, and leaving. The real woman shows up not to give you what you asked for, but to give you what you need. And when the right time comes, she'll give you what you asked for if you provide what she needs. Good God Almighty. Woo! Yes, sir. See, you're trying to put her on the shelf, and she doesn't belong on the shelf with the other things that have been placed on the shelf. What she belongs is along your side. I want to go there, but I gotta finish. I want to give you this right here. And then I said, no, Pastor, go on. I gotta give you this right here. Here it is. Number two, I said, what is your destiny? We define destiny. Number three, your destiny may be closer than you think. It baffles me that people quit and they stop and they fall out. They fall out of line because they're tired of waiting. I know we've said this so much that it's become cliche. Well, you just left. You left too soon because you was right there on the edge of your destiny. The truth be told, the enemy's job is to make you counsel out. The enemy's job is to speak to you and tell you, listen, you've been standing in line too long. It was your turn a long time ago. You've been waiting too long. Why are you still waiting? God says, stand still, stand firm. And the enemy said, no, it's time to move. 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 Now you want to go around everybody, asking everybody, do you think it's time to move? Do you think it's time to move? You see, when you was confiding in God, you didn't ask anybody because you was right there in that relationship. But when you allow Satan to come in, you tell God, hold on, let me ask some folks who's on your side, God. Pastor, do you think this is right? Deacon, ask, do you think this is okay? Come in, friend. What you think about this right here concerning what God told me? When you know it's God, you don't ask anybody concerning your walk, direction, or instruction. When you know it's God, you operate and you stand still. It's time to stand still, you stand still. When it's time to run, you run. But you wait until the right timing. Yeah. The reason why I got to be real with you is because if you never get the real deal, then preachers and pastors and your so-called friends will always be able to manipulate you. When you get the truth, you can't be manipulated. Right? And so if I'm sharing something that's truth, then here it is. Most of the time, I'm not erring on the side of religion. I'm erring on the side of relationship. If I always give you and teach you religion, then you'll always be bound to what the pastor says. But if I teach you and preach you relationship, you can walk out of here and read on your own. You can meditate on your own. You can praise on your own. You don't even need a praise team. You don't need the instruments. You can just walk out and say, God, you're good. I thank you for being in my life today, God. I thank you for waking me up in the morning. I thank you for giving me all the activities of my limbs. God, you're great. God, you're awesome. God, you're so awesome in my life. Even when I wanted to give up, God, you were still there. Even when I wanted to throw in the towel, you were still there. You threw it back at me. Even when I did not want to attend church because of people, you said, those are my people. Go and shepherd the flock. Oh, that was a pastor thing. Even when you did not want to go home to that joker, God says, go home. You're married to him anyway. Okay. Move on. Okay. That's it. I'm really almost done because I ran out of time. But God has a purpose for your life. He has divinely ordained purpose. Watch this. Just for you. I mean, it's just for you. It's just for you. Okay, I'm gonna start to share that. I want to share that. Yeah, can't share that. I want to come to a close with this right here. He says, this is what he gave me. I want you to write this down, take a picture of it, whatever you got to do. Let's pass along. It says, God places destiny in your hands. Watch this. Everybody raise your hands. God places destiny in your hands. But the manifestation you will have to reach for. Your destiny is in your hands. Moses had destiny in his hands. God said, stretch it out. Reach for it. And when you reach for it, I'll move and you'll see the manifestation. When the Israelites got over their journey and they come through the water. He looked and said, well, the enemy's still coming. What are we going to do? God told him, reach forward. You know why? Destiny has already been designed and customized for you. God will not allow you to walk in it until, watch this, you activate. How do you activate it? You activate it by your faith. Your faith. You never, ever live in your destiny until you turn in the ticket called faith. A lot of us want to travel a road to get to our destiny, but we really don't know how to access it. Most of us, just like it was when I asked the question this morning, how many of you are actually operating in your destiny? Wasn't many hands going up. You know why? Because we have great jobs and great relationships, but the real deal is most of us just settled. It was a good paying job, but I'm miserable. I'm in a relationship, not married, but he or she is marriage material. The deal is the reason why you struggle with it is because you know they're not tailor-made for you. Why settle for a position that man put you in when God has already set you in position by the kingdom? Pastor, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do. Been in church all my life, been in church half my life. I'm still struggling. Here's how you know, many times I tell people this all the time. Here's how you know that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. When it gives the next person a headache and you do it with ease. It's a hard job. It's hard work, but you know what? You wake up to do it. In fact, you can do it without getting paid. It's already in you. Anything that you can do without getting paid is what you should be doing to get paid. Most of us have great ideas, but we don't know how to implement the idea. So what happens is, it doesn't mean that it's not a God thing. It means that you need to link with some people who may be just a little bit more smarter than you in those areas that you're not in. And you know what? I read something a long time ago. It said you have to staff your weaknesses. The staff here are part of my weaknesses. That means they do things that I can't do. Not so well. Right? That's why we operate on all cylinders. And watch this. There's some cylinders now, right, that need to be filled. You know why? Because we've expanded. We've grown. We have new people, different people coming in. Before we go, Pastor, why do we deal with so many people in the church who appears to be like ungodly or are ungodly? I learned something. There's some folks who used to go to church of the older generation. And I learned a lesson of value, but I also learned I can't go their route. And one of those lessons were, you know what? You can't open the door to everybody. There's a message in there. You can't open the door to everybody. So how do you open the church doors to everybody and not open the church to everybody? It's a double-edged sword, because If I don't open the church doors to everybody, then what I'm saying is I'm only allowing people that saved or so-called got it together to come into his gates. But if I open the doors to everybody, that's going to push and compel me to do something that we don't like to do called discipleship. If I open the doors to people that are unchurched, who don't look like us, who don't sound like us, who don't dress like us, that means I got some work to do. The work that you do is discipleship. But the saved life concerning grace and deliverance is a God thing. Because we can't save anybody. But if we open the doors to those folks, and if we have a life of testimony concerning what God is doing in our lives, and when we open up our life concerning, hey, I used to be like that. I used to be an alcoholic. I used to be a drug addict. I used to be this and I used to be that. And you look like I used to look, and look at what God can do. You let them come into your life. Don't walk around as if you've had it all together all of your life. Let us stand. I want to pray. Pray. After the prayer, on the exit, you can leave your tithes and offerings and your seed offerings at the rear doors. If you're going to remain, just remain in the lobby. If you're going to come back to our communion service, which starts promptly at 10:30, then I know you can exit. Let's pray. Oh God, you're not far away, but you're right here close to us. God, we woke up this morning with a mindset of expectation. God, and we now have the understanding that we realize that we can't do anything without you. But we can do some things without you that won't work. But if you're going to get the glory, we have to include you into the design that you've given us for our life. But most of all, I thank you because you included us in your design work with your design team. God, I thank you for customizing the life for me, for us, for your people. Now, God, I thank you for the clarity and understanding and the mind opening and the ear gate opening, that we can walk out with something on our minds. Now, God, I thank you, oh God, for the helmet of salvation that keeps us safe and sound according to your gospel. May our lives be exemplary of what you have called us to do. God, we want to be living examples. We want to have kingdom testimonies to change, number one, our path, and maybe change our neighbor's path. You said that path is very narrow. Well, thank you for the willpower to let them know that they can do it, and they will do it for your glory. Now, God, as you continue to guide us and protect us and lead us, you said that you'll never go away from us. In fact, when we leave and there is no presence, it's because we leave you and you not leave us. Thank you for taking the wrath from us, the wrath of sin, that we may be righteous for your namesakes. Thank you for the shedding of blood that has given us life even more abundantly than we could ever imagine. Not just eternal life, but life here on earth. Thank you. Bless the ones that are going to give on this morning for the building and uplifting of the kingdom so that we may continue to do your work, your will, for your purpose, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. God bless you.